Welcome to our service here at Glorious Church Training Center. We are getting ready to go live and be with Pastor David as he brings the message. Get your Bibles and paper and pens out and be ready to take notes at this broadcast. God bless.
Welcome them online this morning. God bless you. Welcome to the Glorious Church Training Center, where we believe that you will experience God today and every day that you join us. Amen. God is doing great things within our hearts and in our lives, and we're getting great testimonies and experiencing God. And how many know A.A. Allen and Smith Wigglesworth and Amy Simple McPherson and Catherine Kuhlman were great stories, but how many know it's time for us to have our story? Amen. You know, I think it's great to read about them and to learn about them, but what I love is to hear yours. And I believe God is doing that right now amongst the people in which He's given us, and actually across the world. There is a great outpouring of His Spirit being poured out and a great revival that has begun. And what's awesome is we get to be a part. Amen. As we've been doing prayer this last year and moving into the new year, the Lord began to really put an unction upon me to teach people on how to walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe that the church has been very religious for a long time, and I have to unfortunately say that in many churches, I believe Ichabod has been written over the door, which means God has left the building. Amen. And how many know we need to get God back in the house? Amen. We know that in Old Testament, God the Father actually helped walk the children through a law perspective in an understanding of who He is, but found out that no sacrifice in Old Testament was sufficient. So we find that Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice, that through the sacrifice, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we now enter into a relationship with God like we've never had before. And, you know, from the fall of the Garden of Eden, we see then that Jesus said in His walk here upon the earth that it was imperative for Him to go so that He could give us a helper, a comforter called the Paraclete, called the Holy Spirit. He is a person of the Trinity to help us, to teach us, and to guide us into all truths. Amen. We realize that the Holy Spirit does three things. It convicts of sin. Somebody ought to say praise God. You know, it convicts of righteousness. How many know it helps us to understand where we stand with Him? And number three, it also tells us that judgment is coming. So we need to stay on course and be aware that we have a responsibility to walk with God. Amen. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit. Last week I talked to you about being God taught, Holy Spirit being God taught. Today I titled this sermon, which I got real early this morning, called "What Are You Wearing?" Look at your neighbor and say, "What are you wearing?" You know, it's amazing that when you get up in the morning, you have to make choice what you put on. You know, if you know that you're going to go to work, you're not going to put your suit on unless you're wearing a suit to work. Amen. If you're going to go out and you're going to paint, you're not going to put on your best Sunday clothes. Amen. You know that if you're going to go to a party, you're going to probably dress up a little bit better than usual. If you're just going to go out to the park, how many know you're probably going to dress down? You're going to be more casual, more relaxed. Come on. You know, it's amazing that we choose every day what we wear. And thank God we choose something to wear, because I don't think any one of you right now would want to take all of it off just to see what you don't wear. Come on. But in reality, saints, in the beginning of time when God created the heavens and the earth, Adam was naked, standing before God, wearing a glory suit, and had no problem with it whatsoever. He walked with God. He walked in the cool of the morning in the Spirit of God. And the only time that they understood that when they needed clothes was when they decided to do something different than what God had intended. And saints, I believe the body of Christ is putting on clothes and operating in things that God doesn't intend us to walk in. Amen. So I ask you today, what are you wearing? Are you wearing the things of God? Are you wearing the things of the world? Are you walking in the leadership of God, or are you walking in the leadership of the world? Every day we have to make a choice. Every day when we wake up in the morning, we have to choose whom we serve. And not a one of us is exempt from that. Every person here has to make that decision. Amen? So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. We know that from Genesis to Revelation, everything was Spirit-led, Spirit-taught, Spirit-caught, Spirit-anointed. Because without the Holy Spirit, things couldn't get accomplished according to the ways of God. We see that in Genesis when God said, I created the heavens and the earth. And he said the earth was without form and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, the darkness. And God said, let there be light. We see God the Father. We see the Holy Spirit hovering over darkness. And when God spoke the word, we see Jesus Christ's manifestation because he is the Word of God. We see that all the way through the Old Testament minor and major prophets, they couldn't do anything without the Holy Spirit coming upon them and leading them in the way that God wanted them to go, to bring things to the order of God. Amen? We see that even Jesus himself, when he came on the scene, that he even had to submit himself to the Aaronic or the Melchizedek blessing that was on John the Baptist so that John the Baptist could anoint him, baptize him so that the Holy Spirit could come upon him so he himself could be led by the Spirit. We realize that when the apostles walked with Jesus and every time he sent them out, the Bible says, and he breathed upon them. How many know Adam had pneuma breathed upon him and became a living being? So we see that when the disciples went out and they would go out, the 12 went out, the 70 went out, the 120 went out, and they were all amazed and said, but we did these things in your name. We cast out devils, we raised the dead, we healed the sick. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in this, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice because you've been written in a spiritual realm that God has prepared for you. Think about that. This is what God wants for you. God never intended you to walk according to the world's way. God intended you to walk according to his leadership. Well, the Bible talks about, and we spoke this last week, that when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he breathed life into him, you have to understand something. It was not just a breath. It was God teaching Adam how to breathe. Because prior to that, Adam did not know how to breathe. Adam had no life. He was dirt. He was formed out of the dust of the ground. And when God breathed pneuma into his nostrils, Adam became a living being, learning how to walk with God and breathe and be taught by God the things of God. You know, I don't believe Adam could have named all the animals separate from God. I believe his relationship with God inspired him to see in the perceptions of God, in the deep realms of God, so that he could begin to see what God saw, and then he began to speak it forth the same way God created out of nothing, something, and as a result, we now have all these animals upon the earth that has been named by a man, because he walked with God. He walked in glory. He walked in what he wore, which was the presence of God. Are you seeing this? It's amazing when you begin to see this, because when you see this new being blown, when you see this life being blown, what happens is you begin to see a new way of living. I like what Robin Bullock said this last week in talking about what's happened over the years and from Nazism and Hitler and all the things that's happened is that there's been a different perception being portrayed in the world. It's not the perception of God. It's the perception of fear. It's the perception of death. It's the perception of everything going south. But how many know God's perception is everything getting better and better and better, from faith to faith, to glory to glory. So this is God's heart. This is God's desire. God wants us to go forward, not backwards. God took us from the time in which we actually spoke, when he spoke into the existence and Adam sinned and fell short of the glory of God. His whole hope is to restore us to what we originally had. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the glory, walking in the life, the perceptions of God. And this is where God has taken us this year. We are going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit all year long because we want you to have a personal relationship with Almighty God through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in John 14, John 15, John 16, talks about Jesus saying, it's imperative that I go so that I might send you a helper. He talks about how he'll guide you and teach you and instruct you, even tell you things to come. He will take the things of the Father and he'll take the things of me and he will give them to you. See, God has always wanted us to walk in this realm. This has been his desire because God wants to share himself with us. Isn't that awesome? God wants to share himself with you. So what does he have to do? He has to come. He has to take us out of darkness by the death, burial, and resurrection so that we can now enter in to a new way of seeing. You know, when you first got saved, your eyesight changed. The things that you used to do in the world that you thought were okay, now you're going, whoo, I shouldn't be doing that. Why? Because you went from darkness to light, and light now shows you darkness, which changes your whole perception. And when your perceptions change, now you're in the process of God teaching you and leading you on how to walk this life out two ways, one in relationship with him and in relationship with one another. Because saints like Paul, when he cried out and said, oh Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh. If you go back to Old Testament, you'll find out what the thorn was people. And God says, my grace is sufficient for them. and for you, Paul, because I can't take the people out. You got to deal with it. How do you deal with people? In relationship with Him. If you're in relationship with Him, it helps you deal with people. Amen? His grace now becomes sufficient. You know, we sung the song Hallelujah. The word Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And when you really break that down on praise the Lord, it means that Hallelujah, that J-A-H, is God's breath. How many know Jesus is God's breath? It's the Lord that rules over you. How many know to be saved is to make Him Lord, not just Savior? See, if He's Lord, He rules. Otherwise, you rule. And so we make Him Lord of our lives because God's breath has breathed upon us and is now teaching us how to walk this life out. We've learned in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the Bible says that the Word of God is inspired of God. That means that when you open up this Bible, the Holy Spirit is breathing upon you. Every time you open it up, He's teaching you. He's instructing you. He's showing you things. And when you get into specific areas of your life where there's a struggle, you go into the specific areas of the Word, and He breathes upon your struggle and helps you through. Are you seeing this? This is the leadership of the Holy Spirit that is supposed to be penetrating and working in our lives. Can I say this? With no breath of God, there's no life. People who have never had the breath of God that's walking in the world, they're not alive. But those who've had the breath of God has a new life in which God intended for us. Amen? So it's so important we understand this. And in John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, let's look at that for a moment. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, has He come? Amen. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and whatever and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. What is He saying here? He's saying that I want you to understand that God the Father wants you to have the perception of Him. He's looking for you to see things from His perspective. He's trying to help you by giving you the Holy Spirit to do that. Because on your own, you can't do that. On your own, you don't know how to see the things of God. On your own, you don't know how to walk out the things of God. Amen? It's almost like Abraham in the Old Testament. If there be 50, if there be 45, if there be 40, if there be 30. He's kind of feeling his way through life. But saints, we don't have to really feel our way through lives anymore. All we have to do is get sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit, and He will begin to lead our lives. He speaks into our lives, and He begins to share things with us to help us become what we're supposed to be. See, Abram became Abraham because God breathed upon him. Sarai became Sarah because God breathed upon him. David became a mighty man of God because the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him. How many know David had some faults, but God still used him? Why? Because he relied upon his relationship with God to get him through. We see it with Gideon. Gideon had an opportunity to go to battle. I mean, he had 30,000 men to go to battle. And God tested Gideon and showed him that he only needed 300 men to go against the armies that was against him. But you have to understand, 300 men against 40,000 on the other side? It doesn't seem possible. But how many know Gideon and his men defeated the army of 40,000? To me, that's powerful. To think that every man, you know, killed between 13 and 15 people apiece, maybe more. Actually, I think it's in the hundreds when you actually do the numbers, apiece. But I mean, no, that was by the hand of God. There's some things that we will never get delivered from until we get the hand of God working in our lives. Amen? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 24, and this is really where I'm going today. It says, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from upon high. Now, I want you to understand something about that word endued. That word endued means to sink into a garment. It means to put on some new clothes. It means to put off the old and put on the new. And so when He says that, would you go up to Jerusalem, talking to the disciples, and you tarry in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, I'm going to pour My Spirit out upon you. You're going to be clothed with a new way of being, a new way of doing. You're going to begin to be led by My Spirit. Remember Jesus, when He was baptized, come up out of the water, and immediately the Spirit of God led Jesus. That's the same way we're supposed to be led, by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? We talked about that when the Spirit came upon David last week. We talked about in the Hebrew, it means that he was clothed with Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. Clothed with Yahweh. clothed with Almighty God. When the Spirit comes upon you, you're clothed with God. You're carrying God and His insights and His leadership and His understandings. You're no longer carrying the world's understanding, the world's religion. You're carrying a relationship with God that clothes you and helps you in your everyday life. We learned that that word Yahweh, YHWH, meant behold the man, behold the nail. Which now we're talking about His Son Jesus. How many know the Father and the Son are exactly alike? They both just play different roles. The Holy Spirit is just like the Father and just like the Son, just playing a different role. God the Father, designer, Jesus the architect, which is the blueprint that we follow, and the Holy Spirit is the power of the teacher that helps us accomplish it. We need this in our life. Would you agree with this? Amen. So if we go back to the beginning, we're in Genesis chapter 1, where God created the heavens and the earth, went into chapter 2 and formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. I want you to understand something. Adam, even though we can call him Adam, really wasn't his name. Because when you study out the word Adam, Adam really meant the whole human race. So when Adam decided to follow after the Suki realm, which is the soulish realm, Adam now polluted or separated us from the leadership of God's Spirit and brought us into the world to follow ourselves. Are you seeing this? And as a result, Adam now decides he's going to put on a different pair of clothes. So I call it fig leaf religion, when he sold fig leaves around them and then began to, you know, when God called him, said he hid because he knew he was naked and ashamed. See, before he wasn't naked and ashamed. Matter of fact, the scripture says he was unashamed. But after the fall, he began to reason for himself, and the reasoning from himself separated him from the relationship with God. The scripture literally says that when you eat from this tree, you will literally die. What does it mean? He's not a physical death. It meant that he died in a spiritual death and he was separated from God. And that's exactly what happens with us when we don't follow the Holy Spirit and His leadership. We separate ourselves from God. And saints, we can't be separate from God in these last days. It's too dark out there and we need Him too much. Amen? To walk this thing out separate from Him. So what are you clothed in today? What are you putting on today? Let's take a look at that for a minute. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and 25 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or about what's on your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing?" So here he identifies the fact that when Jesus came on the scene, he's trying to get us out of serving the natural and putting us into the supernatural. He's trying to help us understand that we can't serve two masters, because as long as we serve two masters, we're going to have a divided house. That's why he says here, do not worry about your life. That word worry is the word merazai or merazio. It means to divide and break into parts. So when we worry, we're divided, we're distracted, we have anxiety, we have stress. That matter of fact, it says it means that we're under pressure. So he tells us right off the bat, don't let yourself be divided. Don't let yourself go off on bunny trails of your feelings, your emotions, your circumstances, or your life. Remember, your life is no longer your own. I now rule over you, and I will make sure you get to the other side. See, God set this in order, but what we have a tendency of doing is going back to the soulish realm instead of walking in the spirit realm. See, I like to say it this way. When God said it, it settled it for me. I might struggle in my flesh on seeing it manifest, but I know in my spirit that's what God said, and I'm going to stand on it and believe it. Why? Because I'm choosing to follow the spirit man, not the fleshly man. Amen? So to worry is to divide. But he goes on and says, don't worry about your, what did he say? Life. That word life is the word Zoe. It means to walk in the spirit. Don't worry about your life, because you're being led by my spirit. You're being instructed by my leadership. You're no longer thinking the thoughts of the world that try to divide you. You're thinking my thoughts that unite you with me. Are you seeing this? We've got to get united with God again, saints. We're living too much far below the standard in which God has called us into. Amen? Because what does the enemy come to do? John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to what? But I came to give you...
life.
Wait a minute. What? Life. What is life? Zoe. What is Zoe? The breath, the teaching, the leadership of God. This is what he's come to do, is to give us that leadership so that the enemy can't kill, steal, or destroy. Zoe life. Say it, Zoe life. Zoe life means to have life more abundantly. How many want to walk in an abundant life? Then we have to make a choice on what we clothe ourselves with. Do we clothe ourselves with the things of the world, the emotions of the world, the circumstances of the world, or do we clothe ourselves believing God no matter what? This is where we're at in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, powerful verse. Got a lot of scripture today. I hope you write them all down. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. What is Christ? It's not Jesus' last name. The word Christ means anointed one. And what did he just say? We were dead in our trespasses, but he made us alive together in the anointing. By grace you have been saved, so it's by God's ability, and raised up to get us up together and made us sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So see this. He died for us, brought us out of the beggar, elementary, soulish realm of the world, put us into a spirit life understanding, sat us in heavenly places so we could think like him, so that the age, look what it goes on and says, raised us up together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Next verse. I know I'm kind of messing with John today. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us who are in Jesus, the anointed one. This is where he's called us, saints. I don't know what you're wearing and where you're living, but you need to get out of this life and you need to start living in this life. You need to get out of your feelings and your emotions and your circumstances and come up higher. Because saints, until we do, we're just going to constantly be a roller coaster. We're up, we're down. We're up, we're down. We're in, we're out. And saints, that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is to be going forward to one place, and that is to walk in the levels with God until we finally get there. This is our call. This is God's heart for us to walk in a Zoe life. The Bible says he raised us up together. He raised us up with the anointing of what Jesus Christ did. He made us sit together, all of us, in that anointing. And where is that anointing? From a heavenly view. If we can't see things from a heavenly view, I guarantee you your earthly view is going to be pretty low. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us a heavenly view that changes everything. Amen? What are you wearing today? Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 through 14, now remember the story. The king came in and says, hey, I'm going to throw a feast. And I want you to go out and I want you to get all the brothers and sisters and bring them in. So they go out and the Bible says that some were married and they had to, you know, go on their honeymoons. And others had to try out their oxen. Others had to go look at pieces of property. And they weren't willing to come into the marriage feast of the Lamb. So what did he do? He said, okay, now go out in the highways and byways and compel all of the others to come in. Those who really want a relationship, those who really want to experience me, have them come in. And he brings them in, and look what happens. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. He wasn't wearing the wedding garment. He didn't have the right clothes on. What does it mean when we were endued with power? We were clothed with God. Are you seeing this? Saints, we need to get clothed every morning when we wake up. We need to put on spiritual clothes. Every morning, we need to call upon Daddy and says, how do you want me to dress today? What do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to go to today? Because remember, you no longer live, but it's Christ in me, right? So we need to get clothed in him. Look at Luke 12:22. Matter of fact, we're going to skip that, John. It's too long, but it talks about not worrying and not dividing yourself again. Luke chapter 15, verse 22. Now, this is about the prodigal son. Remember, he went out, took the goods of the father, and he went out and spoiled it and found himself feeding pigs and eating pods. And he came. What did he do? He came to himself. Say, came to himself. I think the body of Christ needs to come to themselves. You know, I've been living out with the goods of the world and not living with the goods of the Father. And the Bible says, and the Father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, put sandals on his feet. When he came home, what did his Father say? Restore him to what I had intended for him now anyway. That's what God wants to do with you today. He wants to restore you to what he's called you to be. We have an opportunity today to change our clothes and put on Christ. We got an opportunity today to say, no longer am I going to live in the beggar elements of the world, but I'm going to live by the Spirit of the living God. Remember the story, and we're not going to go there right now, John, but you can write this down, Acts 12, verse 21 through 24. King Herod was exalting his position. He had his best clothes on. He had his best robe on. He was seated in a great position, ruling over all the people. And the people began to cry out and call him a god. And the Bible says that King Herod fell over dead. Why? Because there's only one that rules. Amen? And we can't rule. He has to rule. I mean, did you come to church just because, you know, it was a religious day to come? Or did you come to church because the Spirit of God pulled your heart and said, this is where I need to be today? You know, do you read your word because you're trying to do a Bible reading to make 365 days read the whole Bible? Or are you doing a Bible reading because you're wanting to be clothed in the things of God and you want to draw closer to Him so He can draw closer to you? When you give your tithes and your offerings, are you doing it at a religious act? Are you doing it because you know that relationship with God is ministering to His heart and He'll take care of yours? Are you worshiping just because it's a song and somebody's playing an instrument and we're just following along? Are you worshiping because I want to give you my best? Because God wants to give you His best. We could walk in the Spirit every day. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of where you place yourself. Amen? Write these scriptures down. I want you to go there. But we're not going to read them today. Romans 13, 11 through 14 talks about spirit life, being endued with power. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 3. Matter of fact, John, put that one up. I think that's important that we see that one. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 3. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with the habitation which is from heaven. Do you know each and every one of us are groaning inside saying, I want heaven's experience? That's what he's saying here. It says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. If we're desiring the things of heaven, let me tell you what, you're not going to sew a fig leaf over yourself when you're in the presence of God. You're not going to put some religion before it because you're in relationship with God. And our spirit and our inner being is crying out for this type of habitation. And I wonder how much more God's crying out saying, I want you to be there too. Is this helping anybody today? We have a choice to make, saints, on what we wear, what we put on every day, what we put on in every situation and circumstance we face. We have a choice. Are we going to walk by the Spirit or are we going to walk by the flesh? The Bible says, walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're struggling in your flesh, it's because you're choosing to put on the flesh and not choosing to put on the Spirit. That's why you struggle so much. Amen? Write these down. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. Ephesians 6, verse 11, talking about spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. How are you going to fight a battle in the flesh that's a spiritual battle without the Spirit? Colossians 3:10, Galatians 3:27 through 29. Powerful, powerful scriptures. The Bible tells you in John chapter 10, verse number 17, my Father loves me because I laid down my life. Let me ask you a question. When he laid down his life, and we talked about life being Zoe, what kind of life did he lay down? Did he lay down a physical life? Yes, he did. He was beaten, he was broken, he was bruised, he was hit, he was nailed to the cross. I mean, no, that's flesh. So we know he laid that down. Why did he lay that down? The Bible says so that he could carry your sin, your sickness, come on, and deliver you from this present world, right? But what did he really lay down other than that? The Bible says he laid down his life. If you look up that word physical life, the Greek word means bios. Bios mean a physical death, carrying sickness and disease, or moving something out of the way. Aren't you glad that he moved this out of the way? But listen to this. You've got to catch this. That word life in that particular verse is the word psuche. He laid down his life. He laid down his psuche. He laid down his mind, his will, and his emotion that focused on the world so that you could focus on having a Zoe life. Because remember, Adam had a Zoe life, but he chose to use a psuche life, reason with his soul. Oh, did not God say? Begins to bring questions and doubts in whatever it is you're believing God for. And as a result, causes them to eat from a soulish realm, the things of the world, instead of the things of God. So Jesus had to lay what Adam lost down so that we could have a Zoe life. So that we could now begin to live in the spirit realm, not that sarx or fleshly realm that separates us from Zoe. I don't know about you, but I want spirit life. And can I say this? It's what God intended you to walk in. And when it's all said and done, that's what you will walk in. You will have the perceptions of God like you've never seen before when you walk in the Spirit. Amen? See, the flesh is dependent upon temporal. It's dependent upon if it's hot, if it's cold. It's dependent upon eating and not eating. It's dependent upon the air you breathe. It actually relies and begins to rely upon. It's like almost like a car. You know, you go out and you stick your keys in the car, you expect it to start, right? Well, if you can do that in the natural, how much more can you expect when you speak the Word of God for it to work? See, that's the life we're supposed to be living in. Just as much as we live in the natural, we need to start living in the supernatural by following the leadership of the Spirit of God. Amen? So what am I saying to you today? Change your clothes. Quit living in the soulish realm that keeps you all messed up in your emotions, your feelings, and the concepts of the world. And start walking in a spirit life, a Zoe life that clothes you with the things of God, that causes you to walk above your circumstances instead of your circumstances controlling you. Oh, it's not as easy as it sounds. And I remember talking with Midges last week. She says, I just really want to walk in that spirit realm. You can, if you choose to. When I come to church or when I'm out in the world, I'm constantly listening. Okay, God, what are you saying? What do you want done? Is there something I need to alter? Is there something I need to change? There's times where I'm ministering to people while I'm working and my soulish realm is going, well, you've only got so much time to get this done. But my spirit realm's going, that's just going to have to wait. And when I turn to the spirit realm, when I make a choice to clothe myself in the spirit realm at that moment, it's amazing that God takes this little realm that I got and causes me to complete it even with more time left over. But if I would have chose to do the natural realm, it could have been a long, hard day because I missed an opportunity to walk with God. You know, when you walk with God, He knows how to change everything else. I've seen days that I was supposed to work 10 and 12 hours, and I'd end up spending 3 hours ministering to somebody and find out that it only took me 6 to get this done. I don't know about you, saints, but we could make things a whole lot more easier if we'll quit kicking against the goads and we'll start listening to what the Spirit of God is telling us. Amen? I mean, if you really study Genesis chapter 3, the very first thing that the enemy comes to do to steal your Zoe life is to cause you to begin to question God. When you question God, it puts you in a soul realm, a psuche realm, a realm that divides you from the realms of God. Saints, I really hope today, if you get anything out of this, quit questioning God. Just believe Him. Just believe Him. Just believe what His Word says. Amen? Because the Bible goes on and says that as he began to question God, even Eve came back with clarity and said, but God said that I can't eat it. And if you go back to chapter 2, verse 16, that's exactly what he said. She quoted what God said. She quoted what she knew from a spirit realm. But then she adds to it and says, oh, but we can't even touch it lest we die. What did she do? She went from spirit understanding to natural application. And began to twist what God said and began to confuse even herself. Because God never said you'd die if you touch it. She's the one that said that. God only said if you eat it, you'll die. If you eat it, you're going to separate from the spirit life, the Zoe life, and you're going to enter into a psyche life, which is your soul realm, and you're going to have to pick and choose what happens. And Jesus came to bring us back. Jesus came, laid down his psyche realm, his soul realm, so that we could now have Zoe life, spirit realm. and even showed how he walked in that Zoe life, signs, miracles, and wonders, bringing people to God, bringing people to Christ, or to himself, and then said, I've got to go because I want you to walk in this life, because Zoe life is going to change everything. Just as I was able to do, you're even going to do greater. Is this making any sense today? Did you, John, can you put up Genesis 3:22? Because Adam and Eve chose to walk in that Suki life, look at what God said. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Because they have done this, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. And what is he saying here? He's saying because he's eaten from this tree, he's like us. We know both sides of the story. The only difference is God knows how to handle both sides of the story. I mean, no, God knows how to handle the spiritual and the natural. Amen? But he said, now that man is like us, that knows how to handle both sides of the story, we're going to have to kick him out of the garden, because if he goes back and eats from that tree of life, he'll never die. He'll learn how to live in both spirit and natural, and that was not God's intent. God's intent was us always live in that spiritual realm with him, because how many know we don't know how to handle evil? That's what he said. So he had to get them out of the garden, because if they would have eaten from that tree, they would have been like God, knowing good from evil. So what are you clothing yourself in? Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone desires to come after me, and what is he talking about? Into this spiritual Zoe realm, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his fleshly life, or his suke, his soul realm, will lose it. But whoever loses his soul or fleshly realm will find it. What is he going to find? Spirit life. How many here want to walk in spirit life? It's vital. Romans 8:13 and 14 says, if you live according to the flesh, the sarx, what is that? Flesh separates you from God. You will die. What does it mean when you die? It's a spiritual death. You never die. You're going to go someplace. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deed of the body, that self-rule, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So what is he saying? Two choices. You can either choose to walk by the Spirit, or you can choose to walk by the flesh. You can choose to put on the clothes of the world, or you can choose to put on the clothes of God. What are you wearing? What have you chosen? Ephesians chapter 2. And you were made alive who were dead in trespasses of sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now works in what? The sons of disobedience. Among also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Here we are in the flesh soul realm, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. And raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ. You see what he did? He took us out of the old and brought us into this newness of life with him. You say, why am I teaching this? Because the body of Christ is not walking by the Spirit. Many in the body of Christ are walking by the flesh, and it's time it stops. The world will not come to Christ being fleshly. Amen? Matter of fact, your fleshliness will cause to stumble those who are trying to walk by God. You need to be aware of this, saints. This is important that we understand that God is trying to do something in us that's greater than us. Matter of fact, Romans 7, 5, and 6, you don't have to go there, says that he wants us to get away from the passions of sinfulness and get rid of that bearing fruit to death, but wants us to be delivered to a spirit Zoe life. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, and you can read that all the way from chapter 8, 1 to verse 17. And he says he wants us to rise up into spirit life of Christ. Say spirit life. How many want to walk in the spirit life? Amen? Remember what he said to the Samaritan at the well at John chapter 4? He said, if you drink from this water, you will never thirst again. For out of you shall spring forth a river. How many want to walk in the river? You've got to drink from the well of God. You've got to drink from the well of His Spirit. You've got to clothe yourself with the things of God. You've got to determine that I'm no longer going to walk in the soulish realm. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm going to follow the leadership of God. We have to make this choice. It's not something that happens just because you wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm a Christian. Now you wake up one morning and you go, I got to do it God's way today. Doesn't matter what comes, I've got to do it His way. I've got to drink from this water. I've got to sit in His presence. I need to read His word. I need to follow His leadership. I need to do what He's called me to do so that I can fulfill the things of God. Jesus made a statement in fulfilling Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. I think we'll go ahead and read that one, John. Isaiah 61, we're going to start in verse number 1. Jesus also quotes it in Luke chapter 4, verse 21, because Jesus fulfills it. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, and to open the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn," to mourn in Zion, "to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be," what is it called? "Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." Your whole existence is to please God, not self. Your whole existence is to take off the spirit of heaviness, to take off the heaviness of life, and to bring that oil of joy upon the hearts of the people. I read an article yesterday, and I love what he said. He says, "We have two contrasted pictures. One is a mourner with gray ashes, Holy Spirit clothed in gloom like a black robe." So we say we got the Holy Spirit, but I wonder if it's the Holy Spirit when you're clothed in black gloom. Or there's one who comes with the gentle hand, smooths the ashes away, anoints the head with oil, strips off the black robes, and performs miracle that Jesus died for you. And then he went on to say, are you ready to let him? What are you wearing today? Are you wearing what he now wants to do in your life? Are you crowning him with beauty, joy? Jesus sat down in Isaiah and Luke 4 and says, today it's been fulfilled. Jesus said, it's been done. You've heard it. I'm just going to read it. He began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can I say that? Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now it's your choice. Will you follow? Suki life is following the soul realm. Zoe life is following the spirit realm. Amen? I'll say this in closing. Walking by the Spirit is a mandate for you and me to walk in. It's not a choice. To truly fulfill the end time fulfillment of Christ in your life, the anointing in your life, is to walk by the Spirit. It's a mandate. It's not a choice any longer. You have to make a decision. I'm putting on clothes that represent God. I'm putting on outfits that cause me to know that God is working with me and in the lives of others around me. And I heard him say this morning this, how many of you want to raise Lazarus from the grave? How many? Is there anybody here that wants to see the dead rise, the deaf hear, the eyes see? Then you've got to start doing what Jesus said. Here they're all crying and weeping over the fact that Lazarus is dead, and Jesus just said, they're just sleeping. And what did he do? He got into a Zoe life, and he spoke to Lazarus after 3 days of being in the grave, wrapped up in grave clothes, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? He came forth. But what did he tell them to do? Do you remember? He said to them after he came up, he said, take off his old grave clothes. God wants to resurrect you today, and he's calling you out. But you've got to take off the old clothes, and you've got to put on the clothes that he's trying to clothe you in and begin to walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. I don't care how much I teach you about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the different areas of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit operates, how the Holy Spirit works. If you don't choose to put on the clothes of Zoe life, you will never experience it to the fullness that he has for you. Amen? Well, Father, I thank you for your word today that compels us to go deeper and wider into the channels of you. I know you've called us to this, God. And I know that you want us to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And just raise one of your hands right now and just say, Father God, forgive me where I've tried to walk in my abilities. I take off those clothes and I ask today, clothe me in the things of you, that I might walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Convict my heart when I step out of the Spirit and try to walk in the flesh. And draw me back quickly so that I might again walk with you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Remember online, the greatest thing that you could do today is, if you don't personally know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is accept him. He came, he died, and he rose for your sins, yes. But if you don't open up your heart and let him in, he won't come. You can do a religious act. You can run to the altars. You can pray somebody else's prayer. I sat in a car with my uncle that would drive all the way from Texas to Kansas, lock me in his car, and tell me about accepting Jesus Christ. And, I'd pray the prayer, but my heart was, unlock this door because I want out. And let me tell you what, I kept bound for many, many years until I unlocked my heart. And I said, Jesus, come into my life. And when I did, my whole life was transformed. You can do the same today. Ask Him to be Lord of your life and to come in and cleanse you from all the things that you've been so that you can become what He desires you to be. And then ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I promise you, with the Spirit of God upon you, you will never be the same. Have ears to hear and a heart to perceive, because I promise you, your life is about to change. We love you, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in here today at the Glorious Church Training Center with Pastor David Paisinger. And we are located at 1721 West 7th Street, Suite B, Joplin, Missouri, 64801. And also the phone number is 417-622-9374, which is the office. And the email to get a hold of Pastor David Paisinger is teachtrainsend@gmail.com.